Well, good evening. It is great to be with you here tonight. I'm so thankful that I've had the opportunity to worship with you this Lord's Day, to be back home in my home church, to worship this morning, see some familiar faces, and then be back with you here tonight. I'm also very thankful for the opportunity to open God's Word with you all and to look at it and see what God might speak to us tonight through His Word. So I would ask if you would to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Philippians. Going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The letter of Paul to the Philippians, starting in verse 1, I ask that you would stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word tonight, as we seek to know you more, to know what you would say to us, to know your heart for us, your will for us, Lord, I ask that you would open our minds and our hearts and our ears. Lord, may we receive your word with gladness. So very thankful for the opportunity to speak of it, to hear it in public without fear. Lord, I pray that we would continue to praise you this night now through the preaching and reading of your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it that surprises you? What surprises you in this life? You know, we live in a very surprising world. A world that puts a high price on shock, surprise, getting your attention, distraction. A world that puts a high price on fear, intimidation, and then responding to that, anger, frustration. So what is it that surprises you? What catches you off guard? It might just simply be going to the grocery store. I mean, all of us, I'm sure, are pretty surprised at the price of groceries these days, or gas. Simple things like this, or it might be the media, the news, the violence that you see in the world, the corruption. Whatever it may be, whatever it might be that is surprising you right now, that shocks you, I would encourage you tonight that you have the antidote to this. You have the antidote to this anger, this obsession with surprise, this obsession with shocking people, enraging people. You have the antidote. Brothers and sisters, when you receive Christ through submission to him, in fact, you receive the most shocking news of all. The most shocking news you will hear or tell. Look with me again at our passage here tonight. So we start here in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, of course, this is a typical greeting for a letter. It begins with the name of the people, the names of the people who wrote it. And we have Paul and Timothy here. We, of course, know that Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus. Not one of the original 12, but in fact called later. And Timothy, of course, is his fellow laborer, much beloved of Paul, trusted by Paul. Paul, in fact, emphasizes later in the book of Philippians that he trusts Timothy so much that he wants to send Timothy almost as his ambassador. So these are the two men who are represented as writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And if you look just one word past that, you get the first of a series of surprises in this passage. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, I mean, you could look at this as surprising in multiple ways. I guess from more of an academic perspective, you could think, oh, that's interesting. Paul doesn't normally introduce himself as a servant. Normally, he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle. But he does so in the book of Romans, Philippians, and Titus. So you say, oh, that's interesting. That's somewhat surprising. But I don't think that's the chief thing that's surprising here. Because if you look at this from a human perspective, if you look at this from an earthly perspective, usually when we write to people, usually when we are in some sort of position of authority over people, we don't try and emphasize things that set us below those people, sort of in our estimation. And yet here's Paul calling himself a servant of Christ Jesus. From an earthly perspective, it's somewhat surprising and confusing. Yet it is necessary, as Paul well knows, it is necessary for us, it is necessary for you to submit yourself to Christ in order for him to work in and through you. I think this is something that we often forget in the Christian life. It's almost like we want the benefits of Christ, the benefits of knowing Christ, without the work, the pain of submission at times. We don't want to give up our control. We don't want to give up ourselves off the throne and bow the knee, so to speak, to Christ. Now you might say, Josh, you're preaching to a church, an Orthodox Presbyterian church on a Sunday evening. Pretty committed people here tonight, committed to their faith. This is not true for us. Maybe it's true of the world. It's true of sort of those flip-flop Christians or whatever. But I would still encourage you to consider, stop and consider, because Paul himself calls himself a servant. So we understand that this idea of submission is submission to Christ is sort of fundamental in how he views himself. So it gives us pause to think, okay, am I doing this? And I hear that 2026 for New Hope is the year of evangelism. And I think that's really good. That makes me happy. I think it's something that's very necessary, necessary for this church and many churches in this country. So that's very encouraging to me. However, I think it provides a good example exactly here of what I'm talking about. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced this feeling before, if you've ever been in a situation where you hear someone talking or you hear them saying something sort of sounds Christian, but not quite there, and you think, oh, I should talk to them, or I should say something to them. Or you hear someone express frustration, difficulty, the sorrows of this world. Maybe they lost someone that they loved, or they don't understand why there's so much evil and hate in this world. And you think, I have the answer to that. Yet, if you've experienced that also like me, then you've also probably experienced the feeling of not doing anything, of just saying, yeah, well, I don't want to intrude. I don't want to stick my nose in their business, and sort of dismissing yourself out of the situation. I don't know. Could just be like me, but if it is like you, then you've experienced this feeling of not being quite ready to bow your knee to Christ, not being quite ready to submit yourself to Christ in all aspects of your life. But once again, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that it is entirely necessary for us to submit ourselves to him if we want him to work in and through us. You see, what we often expect when we think about a servant, a slave even, someone who's in submission to someone else is negative. We have this negative connotation of it, and that's fair because outside of Christ, every other example of it is negative. We speak of someone being enslaved to alcohol, enslaved to their passions. They are in control of what it is that they are enslaved to. And it's this very negative, looked down upon thing. But in reality, this could not be further from the truth when it comes to your relationship with Christ. It's one of these paradoxes of Scripture where the more in submission you are with Christ, the freer you become. The freer in your desires, in your joy, in your happiness to follow him. And all of a sudden you see that your desires, your wants are shaped after his. And they become good. They become things worthy of praise. It's not quite what you would expect. It's surprising. It's different. But I'm sure all of you can attest to the fact that whatever this world offers, when you submit yourself to it, it will never satisfy you. In fact, every empty promise that the world makes, whether it be temporal satisfaction, enjoyment, distraction, I'm sure each and every one of you, through your own either past lives before Christ or current struggles with sin, can vehemently agree with me that these things offer nothing in the end. But that's not the case with our submission to Christ. That is not the case with our submission to our King. You could say it this way: the promises of the world will never satisfy you. Only Jesus can fulfill the desires of your heart. Look what he offers us here. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that everyone here is, I'm sure, very familiar with these ideas, grace and peace. I'm sure there is little to no need for me to emphasize that you ought to submit yourself to Christ. I'm very well aware of this, but it is my prayer and my hope that as I'm up here, I might serve as some way of reminder of these things to you, that you might hear them and remember what joy and what satisfaction you have with the things that Christ offers you and how surprising they are. We think, what is grace? What is grace? It's undeserved merit. It's undeserved favor. Undeserved, unearned, unexpected. It's surprising. You're seeing a theme here. This passage is full of surprises. It's not what you'd expect for us as sinners. Right? Again, contrast it with the world. Look at the enemies and the conquerors in history. How do they respond? The ones conquering destroy, enslave, kill their enemies. Maybe good and necessary in some way in a human sense, but not so with our God. Have you ever heard of any king in history who is capable, who is able to not only grant pardon to his enemies, but in turn give them something in their own hearts that makes them so in love with him, that makes them want to serve him and worship him? Because I've never heard of that outside of our king. That's surprising. That's shocking. And I need not preach to you about peace. The news does a good enough job of that without me. Just walk out your door, just drive on the road, and you'll see there's a lot of lacking there when it comes to peace. Something that we need. It's something that this world desperately needs. This is why I said at the beginning of this message, brothers and sisters, that you have the antidote here. And again, I know that you know this. I know that this is something that you have been taught, many of you, for more years than I've been alive. But by way of reminder, I beg that you would hear this again, that you would renew your astonishment at the salvation, the cost of what has been given to you, contained within your grace that has been given to you, not only your salvation, your acceptance, your justification, your forgiveness, your adoption, your welcome. Look, he says to them, from God our Father. You have been welcomed in to relationship with this same Father. You've been granted peace and grace with this same Father. This is simply the gospel. This is not some new divine revelation for you, I'm sorry. It is the gospel. It's the same thing that you have heard, I'm sure, preached faithfully week after week in this church. Now, a little earlier in this message, I used the example of evangelism. I didn't exactly talk about why I used that as an example. You might think, oh, he just wanted to plug it in to what the church is doing right now, and I kind of did. But the book of Philippians is your case study. The book of Philippians, you say, oh, why is he talking about surprise? Why is he saying that word so much? It's your case study. Because the church shouldn't exist. And the man writing the letter shouldn't be writing it. It's surprising. It's not what you'd expect. We talked about how Paul was not one of the original 12. He wasn't one of the original chosen. In fact, he was a persecutor of Christ, of the church. Turned from his persecution to following, to believing, to worship, given grace and peace like you. The church at Philippi, who were the Philippians? You might remember the Philippian jailer. Story of the Philippian jailer. Well, why is there a story about a Philippian jailer? Because Paul was in prison in Philippi for preaching the gospel. That's hostile. Persecuted. Paul dragged into the courtyards, beaten and imprisoned in Philippi because of the hatred of the gospel there. And yet here's the church that shouldn't be. Here's the church that shouldn't exist. It's surprising. It's shocking. Where were these men cursing and beating and imprisoning? Because here they are now receiving grace and peace. Here they are now called to the same God and Father as Paul, as you and I. It's not what you would expect. Now, I know that you all recognize that this is the message of the gospel. You all know that this is what you carry with you. I think that often we think ourselves unworthy. We have unworthy thoughts about ourselves receiving these things. And I'm not about to pat you on the back and say, you got it, champ, or whatever, because you're not. You're like me. You're like the Philippians. You're like Paul. You weren't worthy. You didn't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve any of this. None of these people deserved these things. That's why it's grace. That's why it's peace from God. It's to his glory. It's to his honor. It's from him. It's surprising, on the one hand, from a human perspective. And yet it is totally expected, on the other hand. It is totally something that lines up perfectly with the character of God, on the other hand. Because once you know him, once you have that relationship with him, you say, this is my God. This is how he acts. This is no surprise to me. We talked about in detail this morning with Chris Bird. He was preaching on how we ought to rejoice and pray and give thanks, all of these things unceasingly. And why? Why did he give that commandment? Why did Paul give that commandment? Well, one of the things that he talked about was because the steadfast love of the Lord is unceasing. It never ends. It's unending. So, brothers and sisters, you know that to be true of your God. I began this message with talking about how this news, how this proclamation is shocking, that we as undeserving, as rotten sinners, dead in our sins and trespasses, have been given grace and peace. And I frame it that way. I frame it as a shocking message. One, because it is still to us to this day, no matter how many times we hear it, it ought to make our heart beat faster. We think this can't be true. It's still shocking to us today. But the other reason that it ought to be framed that way is because it seems like that's what the world wants. So give it to them. They want shocking. They want surprise. They want something that gets them going. Well, you have the most shocking news. You have the antidote to that. You carry it with you this night. And I pray that as I speak these things, that once again, I know you know that God would use me as a reminder of those things in your life. I ask that you would pray now with me. Father in heaven, we are so keenly aware of our frailties, of our weaknesses. Lord, we know that if it were up to us, we would accomplish nothing. Yet this is why we bow our knee to you. This is why we say, you are Lord, we are not. Lord, we so long to see you work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So we ask that you would, as you did for Paul, as you did for the Philippian church, so now do for us, Lord. As we end our Lord's Day, pray that you would give us grace and peace going into this week, that all whom we might interact with would know you, they would recognize you, and if they don't know you, they would say, I want that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.